set up the video.
One of the, whatever you want. One of what is the photo? Why is it on photo? One of the, one of the important things to, right, there's certain principles about life that are consistent. They're consistent. A yesod is a foundation. Right? Let's start with a relationship. What's a foundation of a good relationship that everybody would agree on? Trust. Nobody will say, if you have good trust, then you know, I don't know, you could have a good relationship without trust. Everybody would agree that there are certain fundamentals, there are foundations to a relationship, like Yehuda said. There's foundations to perspective on life and how a person is supposed to approach life, whether no matter what age you are. Why am I saying that? Because now we're not talking about someone who's 4 years old, somebody who's 8 years old. It could be it would apply to them. My head's not thinking about that right now. But whether a person's 18, whether a person's 25, whether a person's 35, 55, once you get to a certain, you're building yourself to transition from child to adult. A child, right? At your stage in life now, you're growing yourself. It's almost like you're beginning your life as an adult, right? When you're 8 years old, when you're 10 years old, when you're 14 years old, when you're a certain age, when you're younger, so you could sort of lean on the fact that I have my parents, I have my school stuff, I have my dependency. I'm dependent on everybody else to make me happy. I'm dependent financially. I'm dependent on my other people helping me in my brain. What do I think about? And when you learn to develop yourself as a adam, as a person, as a upstanding citizen of the world, of life. What are some examples? I'll give simple examples. My niece is staying by us because she was supposed to leave this week also, and the flights and everything. So last night in the kitchen, I saw her like sweeping up in the kitchen. She was sweeping something up. So I told her, I said, thank you so much. It's so nice. Like, you're in my house, you're sweeping up. And she's like, why are you thanking me? Like, I made the mess, so I'm sweeping up. So I made the mess, so I'm going to sweep up my mess. So I said, I complimented her, and I said, if everybody lived that way, then there would be no mess. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that you're cleaning up either your mess or you're cleaning up someone else's mess. Right? That's why I like the quote in the game room of, if you don't heal from what hurt you, you will bleed on someone who didn't cut you. Why? Because now I'm making a mess on your side of the room. Right? What's a good roommate? What's a good chavrusa? What's a good relationship with somebody? Right? What's important is that you respect the other person's boundaries. Their boundaries. There's my side, there's your side. There's my side, there's your side. If I clean up my side, and you're, right, I know I speak about this sometimes, and I like to speak about it because I think it's important. You guys share bathrooms. You share space. Someone left the toilet the way they left it. Somebody did. So you have six people in a caravan. You have eight people in a caravan. You have five people in a caravan. You have two people. Somebody, right, you sit with six people and you say, Well, you're not cleaning up your mess. You're not cleaning up your mess. You're not cleaning up. Somebody here, it didn't come from a zombie, right? Zombie's not around anymore. Right? It didn't come from some... what? Yeah, sorry. Don't mention his name. Right? But her name's, its
she's
name.
An
she's an Uman. Right. So what's the pshat? The pshat is, what's important for us always to what's important to remember is when you're building yourself, it's the transition of, it's everybody else is defining me. Everybody else is the ones who are going to define me, and I can't define myself. That's a big transition. Simcha, wow. What are you, red? Are you red or blue? Nice.
Blue.
That is not blue.
Neither.
He's colorblind. You're asking the colorblind guy. And what way is this closer?
He's actually
not blue or red.
That's neutral.
So the transition, the avoda, and this is where people, this is really, right, in this week's parsha is shlach, shlach lecha anashim, right? It's taking, one of the challenges they say that Klal Yisrael had, leaving Mitzrayim, and leaving, not so much Mitzrayim, leaving the comfort of Hashem taking care of them. And the Ananiya Kavod, and being taken care of, and having everything that you need, is that I don't want to have to do it myself. I don't want to have to create myself. I want people to take care of me. I want my mother to take care of me. I want my father to take care of me. I want my family to take care of me. And it's a beautiful, 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 beautiful thing emotionally for a person to want to feel that they are being taken care of, and your parents and your family and your mother and your father is going to take care of you. And it's important, and I'm saying this really for real, it's important to heal. And it's important to be able to connect to your father, to your mother, to your family. It's very, very crucial. I'm putting that on the side on purpose. Put that in parentheses for another shiur to talk about that. It's very, very important to, and I'm saying this on purpose, to put that on the side. Because it is important to reconnect to your family and develop a good relationship with your father, your mother, your family. It's very integral and important in a person's growth. At the same time, and I say on purpose, at the same time, it's important to be able to learn to develop yourself. And what happens is, at this stage in life, what happens is, and it's almost, I'm not going into the Mefarshim so much, in the relationship that Moshe had with Klal Yisrael and the Meraglim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like send them, he had permission to send them. I shouldn't really send them. Trust me. We are independent. We're not dependent. It seems like there was something like that going on a little bit, where it's like, am I doing this on my own? Is there a trust? Or we got to check it out ourselves. I got to check it out myself. I want to make the decision. I want to do that. I want to assert my independence. And I think it's very, very, very important. It's very important, no matter what stage you're going to be in life, to be able to really learn to build yourself as an individual, to build yourself as a person, and to learn what are the principles for me to build myself. How do I build myself? How am I, meaning the whole entire country, this entire country of Eretz Yisrael right now, all of us, we're part of a global, well, it's not so much global, but it's a little bit, but more for us sitting here, there's an extra anxiety that everybody is dealing with. There's extra unease that everybody is dealing with. It's not the pshat that it's particular to you. It's every person who lives in Eretz Yisrael now has, okay, some a little bit more than others based on their location, based on where they live. But the anxiety of life, the anxiety of uncertainty, the anxiety of I want to be somewhere and I'm not able to be there. I'm supposed to be home. I'm supposed to be somewhere else. This is not supposed to, right? In a microcosm, and it is a poor example, but just to talk a little bit about this, it's no different than missing, than a person being stranded in an airport because he missed his flight, or somebody's flight being canceled. Again, I'm really not comparing missiles raining down and going to bomb shelters. But my point is that the whole, like, I'm supposed to be somewhere else. I'm not supposed to be in yeshiva now. I'm supposed to be, how long is this happening for? That is something that a person can learn and learn about life. He can learn about control. How much do I have to control things? How good am I when things don't go my way and I don't know what's happening? How good am I to be able to live in the moment? How good am I to not focus on what's going to be in a week from now, 2 weeks from now? I could just focus on today. How much of my mind only lives in the world of the future or the past? How much am I able to look at today, my morning and my evening, and to be able to really dedicate myself to myself, whatever is going on? You know why? Because this will happen again. And I don't mean chas v'shalom as far as the war, and as far as missiles, and as far as sirens. Mirtashem, this is the beginning of the geula. Mirtashem, and don't just think that that's like a cute thing. Like, there's real signs of geula, of Mashiach, whenever things like this happen. Whenever global things happen, especially when it's arrowed and obvious that it's about Eretz Yisrael. Everything that goes on in the world, ultimately, everything that happens in the world is for the Jewish people, is for Klal Yisrael. When you hear there's a earthquake in some foreign country, it's something for Hashem does that we hear about it for Klal Yisrael. When something happens anywhere, it's for Klal Yisrael. That's what we're makabel. There's the Chafetz Chaim says it. It's known that anything that happens in the world is for Klal Yisrael. So al achas kama v'kama, how much more so when there's something that is actually happening to Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, that it's the greatest. Yes, that the phone, when the home front phone goes zzz, and it's like, oh my gosh. And there are missiles flying all over the place, like, oh my gosh. Is there sirens going? Oh my gosh. That's there. That wakes up something inside of me. It wakes up something inside of me. And like we said last time we spoke about this, what lesson am I taking from this? What am I doing from this? How am I listening to this? What is this message? Maybe it is a message of geula, and I need to tap more in to the message of geula. Maybe it's a message of my relationship with Hashem. Maybe that's exactly the point. What's my relationship with Hashem in all of this? And you know what? What's my relationship with Hashem not in all of this? Because all this does over here is it brings out very clearly, it brings out for each and every one of us, it brings out very clearly where we're holding with whatever it is that we're holding. When things are going well, when everything is going well, so there's not so much of a test of who you are, right? When the going get tough, the tough get going. When we go through difficult times, that's the time where a person says, like, okay, so who am I? When you get the perfect night's sleep and you wake up in the morning on time, that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when a person goes to sleep and he gets a beauty sleep and he gets his 9 hours, 10 hours, 11 hours, 8 hours, whatever you need, and you feel fresh and you want to get up in the morning, that's great. That's beautiful. But that doesn't create great people. What creates great people is when you didn't have a good night's sleep and you got up anyway. It's when it was hard to get out of bed and you got up anyway. When it was hard for you to say no, but you said no anyway. When it's hard for you to go over to someone who you naturally don't like, and or a person who hurt you, or a person who did something to you, and you extend kindness to that person. That is what creates greatness. That's what builds. And nobody knows except for you. Nobody knows except for you those moments, those private victories that a person goes through and a person pushes himself and says, I'm going to dedicate myself in a deeper way, in a more humble way. I'm going to look at people a certain way. I'm going to learn something. Not because they're sheer now, not because it's popular for me to learn right now, but because I'm choosing to learn now. I'm choosing to be here. I'm choosing to act a certain way. I'm choosing to live a certain way. And that is something that begins when we begin to learn. Begin to learn. Because it's something that really, really, really takes time. When we begin to learn to build myself, when each and every person, and like I said, it'll continue in your lifetime. Mirtz Hashem, when you get married, and then in Mirtz Hashem, you'll have children, then in Mirtz Hashem, you'll build a family, and then you'll have other things. Nothing just will fall min ha-shamayim. Going to fall min ha-shamayim and to make your life exactly the way you dream and envision. The famous I don't want to say line. It's not a line. The Panovich Zhirov, when he was building Bnei Brak, and Bnei Brak was a desert, was nothing was there. And he was talking about all the incredible buildings that he's going to be building, and Torah, and building. And people said, Rabbi, or I don't know the exact story, how it went. But someone said, oh, you're a dreamer. And what did he say? He says, yeah, I'm a dreamer, and I dream, but I don't sleep. So everybody can dream. Everybody can dream, oh, I want to be a millionaire. Oh, I want to be healthy with this anxiety, no more anxiety. I want to be happy. I want to be a Talmud Chacham. I want to get rid of my fears. I want to have a great marriage. I want to be a great father. I want to be whatever you're going to dream of. That's great. It's great. Who wouldn't wish to be all of the above? Everybody wishes that's what they would be. But what separates somebody who's going to get there and somebody who's not going to get there is the person who just dreams and hopes. Right, what do they say? The road to Gehenna is paved with good intentions. What does that mean? Yeah, I wish, and I thought, and I wish I would have, and I this, and only. And that's difficult sometimes to hear. Sometimes it's very difficult for a person to hear that. Which I want to hear from you guys. I'll finish off with this last thing, and then I want to hear from you. The way it works is that transition of childhood, and again, I'm saying it again, it's important. There's a very important part to reconnect with your family. It's for a different, maybe it's for a No Mic Monday conversation, even though we did speak about that a few times, about reconnecting with your family. And someone even said last night, I'm not going to mention his name publicly, but if you guys remember, and he said that he actually had a conversation with his father and he reconnected and it made such a deep, now again, it made such a deep change, a deep a deep something inside. Now, I wanted to say something. It could be you're not ready for that. You can't push that. It could be a person's not ready to have that conversation. It could take you 5 years, could take you 10 years, could take you 20 years, could take you whatever it is. But don't underestimate the power of that conversation and the power of connecting with your family. Now, putting that to the side, and I'm saying that on purpose, putting that to the side, a person, you know what, I'll say a percentage. I don't know if my percentage is accurate, but I'll say it like this. In order for me to fill up this seltzer bottle, so let's say this is 50%, so let's call this maybe 25%, maybe it's about 20% full. I don't know what the exact ratio is, but I would say 80% of filling up this bottle has to be you filling yourself up, not your parents, not your friends, not your community, not what's popular. I got to, what? Whatever you need to fill yourself up with.
But I'm saying there's a lot of that come from the community.
Again, so no, that's what I'm saying. No. It comes from building yourself up and choosing to build yourself up. Now, can I use my community to help me build myself up? Yes. Can I use my family to help? Yes. But ultimately, it's between me and me building myself up. Now, I'm not saying that this percentage is not part of filling up. Part of filling up. But what happens is, many times, people switch the ratio. And they say, especially when you're at this stage in life, because at this stage in life, a lot of times we want to stay comfortable. I want to stay. That's mamish this week's parsha. Shlach lecha anashim. Is they say one of the challenges that Klal Yisrael had to go into Eretz Yisrael was they were used to everything being taken care of for them. I need everything to be taken care for me. And one of the scariest things for a person sometimes is to have to take care of himself, especially if he never had to take care of himself. He never had to take care of himself. Or he always had to take care of himself and nobody took care of him, and therefore he neglected himself. But what's the point? The bottom line is, when a person learns, and I'm saying the word learn and underlining the word learn, because it's something that we're always learning. We're always evolving into getting to know myself, getting to be honest with myself, getting to be true to myself. You know, if you heard last night, you know, just such a great feeling to hear, you know, Chevra talking about their commitment to themselves, committing themselves to themselves. And that's very scary. It's very, very, very scary. Very scary. When you learn, I mean, it's the most powerful tool. That's why it's scary. It's much easier if somebody else makes the decisions for me. It's much easier to have somebody else do my laundry. It's much easier to have somebody else be there to make me happy. So much easier, quote unquote easier. It's not easier. That's why people get depressed when they're waiting for everybody to take care of them. Again, I'm not talking about people who have real, real, real depression and they suffer from real clinical depression. I'm talking about why do people get down? Because they're waiting for everybody to make their day great. They're waiting for everybody to you know, it's one of the lines, I think, I don't know how many years old it is, that I said, don't have a great day. Have a great day. You tell someone, have a great day. Now, of course, you could tell someone to have a great day. But my point was, have a great day is mashma, that like, I hope I have a great day. I hope it works out. How about create a great day? How about make a decision? I told someone recently, in their new job, they got a new job and their company, and the person told me, very, very hard worker, very, very chashava, you know, person who works very hard. And he told me, you know, he's working very hard, but he feels that he's not doing enough. So I told him, the first step is you have to define from 9 o'clock in the morning, from 8 o'clock in the morning, from 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever time you decide, till 12 o'clock at night, till 1, whatever you first get your timeline of your day. And then, what am I supposed to accomplish today? What are my goals for today? As I've told guys many times, say, oh, I'm so down, I'm so confused, I'm so lost. I'm like, well, what's your daily main thing? What's your purpose of your day? And they're like, I'm not sure. So I'm like, well, I'd be depressed and down if I didn't have that either. What person wakes up in the morning or goes to sleep the night before and goes ahead and says, okay, right, you know, I mentioned, right, what, you know, you mentioned that a little bit. You know, Bensy mentioned that a little bit last night about waking up, and I want to say something. When you make a decision that you're going to have a terrible day, that's also a decision. At least you're owning the decision. The guy who says, oh, I happen to have had a great day. I happen to have had a terrible day. Now, yes, sometimes terrible days, Hashem Yirachem, and sometimes, Baruch Hashem, beautiful days. Some days are easier and some days are harder. No one's going to argue about that. Sometimes things happen for us. Sometimes things happen. Yes, when we're stuck in Eretz Yisrael, and you can't, not stuck in Eretz Yisrael, it's a schus to be in Eretz Yisrael. When you're stuck in a place where you, let's say, don't want to be, and you have other things, places that you want to be, yes, it could be challenging. It could be challenging for a person. But the question is, what do I do with that information? What do I do with what's happening to me / for me? And how am I able to deal with that? And the quicker a person and the deeper a person learns to build himself in all of those situations, because they will come up over and over and over and over and over again in life. Over and over. It's not because you're 18, you're 19, you're 21. Yes, it might be on a smaller scale. But it's going to happen again. It'll happen when you're 20. It'll happen when you're 23. It'll happen when you're 25. It'll happen when you're 30. And the I don't know if the right word is quicker, but it's more the clearer a person begins to wake up in his brain and to say, okay, it's up to me to fill up this bottle. It's up to me to fill up this bottle. I need to learn to be happy. I need to learn to deal with my anxiety. I got to learn how I could become a Talmud Chacham. I got to learn how to build. Is it scary? Yes, it's scary. It's very scary. It's very, very scary. But we all know the people who don't do that are more scared. We know that. That we know. The guy who doesn't push himself, he's more afraid than anyone. Why? Why is he more afraid of it? He's afraid of everyone more for one reason. Just because we all start off the same. We all start off more or less the same. Okay, this guy might have more anxiety than you in this. This guy might feel more confident. There's no person, and then I'll get to, I know Fryman had his hand up, and then we'll get to Bensy. There is no person who doesn't have areas where they're more anxious than this one and this one, and this one is more anxious than somebody in something else. You're not going to find a person who is free of anxiety. You could have a person who might have worked on his anxiety. You could have a person who learned how to deal with their anxiety. But the baseline is, people start off, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of this. I have natural things that I'm good at with this. I have natural things. Everybody has their talents, and everybody has their fears, and everybody, we're all in a very, very similar boat. Okay, this guy will say, oh, I wish I was more handsome. This guy says, I wish I had more height. This guy says, I wish I had more brains. This guy said, I wish I had more courage. This guy says, I wish I had more, whatever it is. And the list goes on and on. And the answer is, it's what Hashem gave you. Hashem gave you your heart. Hashem gave you your brain. Hashem gave you your parents. Hashem gave you your anxiety. Hashem gave you your past. Hashem gave that to you. And if you would trade with somebody else, I've always said that. So you trade with someone else. It's not, actually not for me. I don't know if it's Rav Aaron from Karlin said, he says, one of the tzaddikim says, I wish I was like Avram Avinu. So he says, I wish I was like Avram Avinu? If I was Avram Avinu, I'd be great and famous, and I was the man, and I did this, and I did that. So he says, okay, great. So hear the story. So he says, yes, I wish I was like Avram Avinu. That would be incredible. And then he said, okay, wait. So let's say I'm like Avram Avinu. Then who's Avram Avinu going to be? So he says, Avram Avinu is going to be what? He's going to have to be me. Right? Because someone's got to be me. I want to be Avram Avinu. So he says, oh, so it must be that I want to be like Avram Avinu because of Gaiva and because of whatever it might be. So let Avram Avinu be Avram Avinu and let me be me. Let Avram Avinu be Avram Avinu, let me be me. What's the line? You might as well be yourself because everybody else is taken. Say that again?
No one's being themselves and really everyone's open.
I don't get it. We'll have to talk about that after Shira. I don't think I caught that. But the point is, but what's the point? I'm not saying it's not something good. I just don't have the brain power. I'm like, I need more coffee. I want to hear it. But the point is what? The point is, yes, you're going to have situations in life. And I want to tell you something. If you would go ahead and take, if there would be an anxious test that somebody could take, if you could like take like, you know, like prick your finger of blood and put it in a, you know, that they have for blood sugar. So you could prick your finger and say, okay, what's your level of anxiety? I guarantee if you went around the room, the Beis Medrash, or if you went around to people here, you would say, this guy has elevated, he's a little bit higher, he's a little bit lower, he's a little this, he's a little that. And then you take everybody and send them in another situation. They say, this guy, first day of school, this guy has a little bit this, this guy has this. This guy at the job has this. Everybody at different times. This guy's getting married, he has this level, this. You're always going to have elevated levels and lower levels. Always. Okay, we'll start with Ephraim.
How is a person supposed to know?
What? No, it's okay. Thank you. How's a person
supposed to know if they're like reliant on another person or on themselves? Like, you know, how to switch to be more reliant on yourself?
Right. So the second part. First of all, great question. I like that. I love that question. I think the answer to the second question is really the first question. First, you want to identify where am I too reliant? Where do I need to be reliant? Where is it appropriate for me to be reliant? And where am I supposed to be independent?
How can a person judge how
reliant? Right? So good. That's another question. Good. That's another question. But let's first, that's shlach lecha nashim. Are we supposed to send, that's what I said. Are we supposed to send spies? It sounds like, I'm not sure. You have to look into the mefarshim. Were they, Hashem said, fine. Hashem let them. So it wasn't like an aveira, but it was like, I don't know, are we supposed to be independent? Are we supposed to not be independent? Which I think is a little bit what Ephraim's asking. Is the first step you want to do is you want to ask yourself. Because great people also, everybody here is great, and everybody here wants to be greater and greater and wants to live that life that you want to live. The first step is you want to, and great people and all people who are quote unquote successful in areas, you can't do it alone. You need people to rely on. At the same time, that's what I'm saying. You got to know your percentages. You have to know your percentages. Am I too reliant on someone in this area? And that's what Simcha's asking. So how do you, good, good. But at least begin the process. At least begin the process. A lot of times we're not reliant enough on the areas that we need to be reliant, and we overly rely on the things, right, that we're supposed to be independent. Sometimes we get it all mixed up. We get mixed up. Why? Because we're not used to this. This is new. This is fresh. I'm here. This is the first time in my life where I'm thinking about getting married. I'm thinking about my future. I'm thinking about building myself. Till now, I just had to like figure out how to survive school, how to like live in my family, how to do whatever. Now suddenly it's like, am I going to make a living? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? What's my Yiddishkeit? What's with Torah? Now I got to have a whole religion and Torah and Parnassa and this. At the same time, I'm supposed to be best friends with my family. I want to fix all and heal all the things. That's a lot to rely to not rely. That's a lot. That's a tall order for a person to have. That's very high. And the first step is to be able to give yourself the clarity of what is something I can rely on, what is something I can't rely on. When guys start talking about like, oh, well, I gotta, you know, some people struggle that they have to make their own money and they have to support themselves financially. Some guys, it's like, no, I don't think about that at all. My parents have that all covered. Some people have the emotional support from their parents. Some people have zero support from their parents emotionally. But they might have other support from their parents. And the way you grew up for sure is very powerfully going to influence what you're used to relying on and what you're not relying on. Yeah, Bensi. Unless the question was answered.
Yeah. So I was just thinking how am I supposed to go and feel good about my day if I make this list, I have this grand life that I want to live, and then you know what, at the end of the day I didn't do it.
Right.
I feel good about what I did?
Great. So that already gets into another level of growth, which is what's the day that I'm creating, and is that realistic? Is that day realistic? It's very, very important. This is like funny that it's the end of the year, and I'm saying this. This is more like the beginning of the year, but I think everybody could hear this. If you really don't have a plan of your day, so then you're like, I don't want to say percentages, but things are just going to be. The most important thing is to be accurate.
But at least then you feel good, like, hey, I learned 5 minutes and I did this.
Right, but you would feel 10 times better if you made a goal to learn 5 minutes, or you put on a kavana, a kivun, a way to say, these are my goals, and this is what I'm going to accomplish. Now, like you were asking, you have to be very careful, because the natural thing that happens is, oh, I'm going to put 30 things on the list. It's always better to under-commit and over-deliver. Under-commit. So that's something that you have to, you know, speak it out with someone, make sure that it's comfortable. Yeah, Mayor. By the way, I just want to say, just as a compliment, see, it's how interesting that Bensi, who's someone who makes goals and has had a year of killing it, as they say, of pushing himself, is sitting here asking the question. And to me, what that does to me is it's a tremendous, it's a tremendous testimony to the more you get serious about your life, and the more you get clear about your life, the more you'll get serious, and the more you'll get clear about your life. So I just want to... I think one of the hardest things for a person to do is to really make that switch, because once you make that switch and you really deep down say, I'm going to take ownership in my life, so then you're already in the world of taking ownership. And then within that, you'll just keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. I think the hardest thing, like, kol haschalos kashas, going into Eretz Yisrael, that's this week's parsha. Going into Eretz Yisrael is like, how are we going to survive in Eretz Yisrael? How are we going to make it in Eretz Yisrael? I'm used to having that Anani HaKavod. I'm used to having Hashem just carry me and carry me and carry me. I don't want to be alone. I want to be a child. I want to be a baby. And that's beautiful. All the therapies nowadays are there for the child in me and the exiles, and it's beautiful to get back. I want to be like a child. I want to feel like a child. There's time to do that. There's time to heal the inner child. Part of healing the inner child, and this I'm underlining this one, part of healing the inner child, part, I'm not saying all of healing the inner child, part of healing the inner child is to remember that I'm not a child anymore. That's part of healing the inner child. Yes, you could spend time healing the inner child, but part of healing your inner child is to remember that I'm not a child anymore. And I can. Oh, it's already 6:41. Sorry, guys. Anyone had something? Or Nisanel, you want to read Hilchos Lashon Hara? What? And we already said yesterday. I don't think we said yesterday's then, probably. What was yesterday's? What?
Yeah, but I don't think they joined yesterday. The grand. What was yesterday's? I have one. I'll say halacha.
Yeah.
That I thought of. I've always said this. Are you allowed? This is Stam. This is not from the Chavetz Chaim. But it's just my opinion. And it's based on a halacha.
Are you allowed to say that dad... Oh, you guys for sure will like this. Are you allowed to say that that dog is a not well-behaved, nasty, whatever dog? So look, it's not Lashon Hara. No one would... Everybody would say that it's for sure... not Lashon Hara to talk bad about a dog.
Why wouldn't it be Lashon Hara?
The reason it might be Lashon Hara, one second. The reason it might be Lashon Hara to talk about a dog is, because then, I'll tell you why I said it, is because then what you're doing is, you're putting down the owner. Where did this halacha nisanel come from? Because I always said, we said I think the last day or two, that you're allowed to say Lashon Hara, no, it's not Lashon Hara, you're allowed to say age appropriate, that a child who is acting a certain way at 2 years old, he's throwing a tantrum. And the Chavetz Chaim, I could look it up in Shmiras Lashon, that's the halacha, that means you can. I say you have to be careful, even with that. Why? Because if you talk negatively about a little child, ultimately it's a reflection on the parents. And some parent might feel ashamed to say, oh, why are you saying that about my child, that my child's throwing a tantrum? They might feel bad, and people might judge the person for that. Okay, amazing. Have a wonderful day, everybody. First day of the rest of your life.